Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show tonight. I'm so glad you joined us. I think you're in for a treat. The topic of tonight's show, the title is Discover Your Soul's Path Through the Akashic Records with Linda Howe. We're going to bring Linda on in just a minute, and I think we're both jazzed about the show. It's going to be fun tonight. But I wanted to take a minute and just kind of noodle the concept of this soul aspect. We're going to talk about the Akashic Records, but I wanted to start off by noodling the idea that you're a soul personified as a human being, a soul who's incarnated into this physical body. Chances are good if you're listening to this show, you're a human being, or maybe there's a dog or cat in the room with you. But you're a soul that is personified as a human being. And when I look at society, there's so much humanity to us, and that's fine. We're here for the human experience. But when we lose sight of the idea that we're souls, when we lose that connection, that knowingness that we're souls, we can tend to live our lives in our head, in our egos. And the ego can be, you know, pretty good about balancing the checkbook and avoiding other cars in traffic, and it can figure out ways to create a sustainable life. But I think the vision of a soul, Michael Newton wrote in some of his books, the idea of a soul choosing lifetimes to incarnate into. And the soul had a vision for your life before you were even born. Your soul now had a vision for this life now, before you even incarnated into a body and were born to your parents. And for me, the cool thing about that vision for your life is that there's a purpose, there's a reason, there's lessons to it. And when we stay in our egos, we tend to not bring those elements, those core elements, into our thinking and our choices in our everyday life. So many of us stay in our heads. And when you can understand the wisdom, the vision, and the boldness that a soul has, the idea that a soul has no concept of fear, and that a soul has no concept of limitation, you start to draw a picture of possibilities. You start to draw a picture of potential of what your life, this now life could be. And I suggest the really cool thing about that is that if we can get out of our minds and into our hearts and our soul and connect and understand and realize that vision, that the immensely vast scope of possibilities of this lifetime now, then the ego gets a few really powerful gifts from that. First of all, the ego's off the hook. When we live in our ego's got to figure everything out, and that can be fatiguing. I think a lot of people are treading water, if you will, on their spiritual path because they're trying to figure it all out in their heads. So a real big gift to understand your soul's path is to know that there's already a vision laid out for your life. And so when you can get your ego to trust, and I think that's such a powerful sentence, to get your ego to trust the vision that your soul has for your life, and then allow that inspiration of your soul into your everyday choices, thoughts, and actions, well then, wow. What used to be a narrow arena of possibilities gets blown wide open when you bring your heart and your soul into your everyday thoughts and choices and actions. Your future expands. And as you get experience living in that trust of your soul, it expands even more. It's like this never-ending story of your potential, of your possibilities. And the whole scheme has been set up for you to experience this human condition. So when you can approach things from your soul's level, from your soul's perspective, all bets are off. There's limitations fade away. And that's why I really like the topic tonight, and Linda's going to take us through this, the idea of the Akashic Records. Our guest tonight, Linda Howe, is an award-winning author and the leading expert in the field of Akashic Studies. Her joy, and she exudes it so vibrantly, is focusing on the Akashic Records as a spiritual resource for personal empowerment and transformation. I mean, pow, if that's not the thing itself. I don't want to waste any more time. I want to bring Linda on the show. Linda, thank you so much for being our guest tonight.
Oh, Les, thank you for this wonderful opportunity. I'm really glad to be here.
So rumor has it you're a soul living out a human lifetime. Is that right?
Yes, and I'm here to confirm that rumor.
Well, I'm glad we got that
so
working.
Funny.
So when did you first realize that Akashic Records were such a were going to be part of your life path?
That's a great question. That is really great because I was launched onto my spiritual path in the late 70s. I had what was for me a very profound and riveting spiritual moment in which I had done everything right in life and everything that I thought was right anyway, but I did. I worked very hard. I thought life was a management, a management game or contest or something. And anyway, I woke up one day and realized I had everything I thought I wanted. And I was so empty inside, Les. I didn't know what to do. So I prayed desperately, right, the desperate prayer. And within a short period of time, had this remarkable, what was for me really, it changed the course of my life. And I had a moment in which I became aware. It was like, I felt like Rip Van Winkle, right? I woke up to the moment. And in this moment, I had the sense of being both known and loved, but even better, liked, appreciated, enjoyed, and it turned my life upside down. I was 24 when that happened. I am 61 now, and I have yet to grow into that experience fully. It has guided everything. And the search for me became, how do I have this experience in my everyday life? Because, you know, once I had been there, I thought, I have to have this. That's all there is to it. And the search was on, right? The search was
sure.
It was game on. And it really was. And I spent many years searching and exploring and growing, and it was all wonderful. And what ended up happening was I once once a woman did a reading for me, and she said she was reading the Akashic Record. Now, she had a very thick Texas accent. I really didn't understand what she was talking about, but I was, do you know what I mean? I was like, oh my God, I didn't even know, but I knew this. I knew it was very close to that sense, right, that I had had when I was 24. And I thought, if I could ever do this Akashic thing, whatever it is, I mean, I was really unclear, that's what I would like to do. Well, lo and behold, you know, through the twists and turns of life, I found myself at age 40 learning how to, in a class, how to read the Akashic Records. I want you to know, Les, it was very unusual to me because I didn't even know what the word meant, right? But I knew the sound of it, and it spoke to me. It's like it really triggered or opened or stimulated something deep within, and I found myself in this class with this woman who was certainly very lovely but so esoteric. I had no idea what she was talking about. Anyway, as it turns out, when I went to open my records, I had what was then, and even that was 1994 when this happened, I was in this class, and the experience I had upon opening my own Akashic record was the closest to the experience I had when I was 24 and continues to be to this day, this phenomenal and really mind-blowing experience of being known, loved, liked. You know, like and love are qualitatively a little different, but sure, really appreciated. You know, really being appreciated. And that was, and then, so that was 1994. I stopped, at that point, I had a practice of doing shamanic healing. That's what I did in my life, and I stopped doing that. I stopped everything, Les, because I thought, whatever this Akashic thing is, I have to follow it. I felt almost as if the light of the universe came to get me, and my job was to follow. Now, what was very curious to me, when I first started working in the records, I got the impression and the understanding, as limited as it was, that this is an infinite spiritual resource. Well, the funny thing is, Les, I thought I knew what that meant. I have no idea. Because I have to tell you, I am here, whatever it is, you know, 21 years later, I am in the records, I'm in my own records, the records of other people, every day. And the most amazing thing is just when I expect, you know, we talk about the ego, you know, just when I think, oh, well, this thing's going to dry up any time now, what happens? I don't know what happens. All I know, it's as if I get to the edge of the universe, and a whole new vista opens up to me. I am just now beginning to get a sense of what infinite might mean. Well, right. I can't even go that far. That's really, it's loaded. But do you see? And along the way, through the exploration, you know, I didn't understand it. Akasha is a Sanskrit word. I'm from the Midwest. What do I know from Sanskrit? Nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just was like, whatever that is. But it's a Sanskrit word, and what it means is primary substance. That from which all things are formed. So we're talking about the essence of life, right? The stuff of life before we get to it, before we humans get to it. So that's what the Akasha is. And the Akashic Record is a vibrational archive of every soul in their journey. Which is, now that to me, what a beautiful, beautiful idea, because everyone's in it. It's like, you know, for better or worse, right? But it's really true. Sure. Every soul in their journey as human through time and space. Now, looking even deeper, we see that every set of records, like your records, my records, everybody's records, has two parts. The first part is the it's the blueprint of the soul, which is really, you know, it's and that's fixed, right? That doesn't change. It really is like the energetic etching of your divine potential. And it is your destiny to come to know that and live it throughout time. And what travels along with it are the stories of the lifetimes we live as we awaken to the blueprint and learn how to live it. You know, we were talking before we came on the air, you know, we really are infinite beings. And I say that's a great thing because this is a monumental project that we're involved in, right? It's epic. The scope is, you know, to the edge of our imaginations and beyond. And so it takes some time, right? It takes time for us to come to know who we are. So does this make sense to you, Les?
Sure, it does.
Okay, good. So then looking even more, you know, I think the question is, you know, so where is this Akashic record? And again, being from the Midwest, you know, I'm kind of a practical in some ways. You know, I want to know, oh, is it in the pyramids in Egypt or on some banana leaf in India or off the coast of Brazil? And the truth of the matter is, the record in its wholeness is everywhere. And what it is, it's a soul-level dimension of consciousness. So it's part of the nature of the soul, right? The part of us aware of its divinity. So the Akashic record is embedded. It's inextricably woven into our soul. I like to think of it as the energetic, what do you call this? Like connective tissue between the soul and the source. Because, you know, we're always connected to the source. It's just as hard to remember that here on Earth. You know, when I'm driving by the mini-mart, I'm like, whoa, but it's true. And so the Akashic record really serves as a bridge of light from the soul to the source, holding us steady as we awaken to the truth. It's quite remarkable.
Well, it would seem that the scope of the truth is, from my perspective, beyond language. It's like you can sit down and try to pen the idea of truth, but I suggest it transcends all speech, all language, all religions, all beliefs. It's from the beginning until the end, and all times in between. So when we go to, so here we are talking about the Akashic records,
mm-hmm.
and our listeners, you, me, all of us are human beings having this human experience. How does knowing the Akashic records, what kind of information do you get from it, and how can it bring better insight into this human lifetime?
Okay, this is very exciting. It's a very exciting issue, right? Okay, there are two things. I want to talk really about this paradox, right? That the paradox of us being infinite, right? We are infinite beings. At the level of the soul, we are infinite, eternal, immortal. That's, you know, unlimited. That's absolutely true. What is also true while we're here on Earth is that we are finite, mortal, temporal, flawed creatures. And so the great paradox is, how do we live in, right, how do we live in the truth? How do we live at the center point of, like, the infinity symbol? And what we're looking at here is the fusion, right, being awake to the soul present at the core of our being, right, living from the inside out, okay?
Nice.
That it is the challenge. It really is the great challenge of the new age. How do we live not as either or, oh, I'm my human self, I'm my spiritual self. No, I am myself, whole and complete, and I am living from the inside out with my heart, mind, and will in the service of my soul. We are the first generation in history, first time ever, consciously, responsibly, and deliberately searching to lead soul-led lives. This is a secular people. I mean, people have been doing this within the confines of religious structures for a long time now.
Sure, right.
But this is the first time. This is unprecedented. Okay, great. So that's very exciting. And then, oh, I forgot I was going to say something else. Well, it'll come back.
Well, we're the first generation to embody that truth in a secular group in a mass that hasn't been seen before in time. Typically, it's been sages or one-offs or just particular
right.
individuals, but it's coming into the collective where if you go into a kindergarten class and you start yakking calculus, there won't be an energetic connection. But if you wait a decade or two, those students are going to change their vibration by taking math and trig and algebra and pre-calc, and then you can walk into the room with them and say the exact same sentence, and then it can land. They can capture the concept of it. And so energetically, collectively, we're all raising our vibration out of the denser into the lighter, and that affords us the ability to embody and capture the truth in a much clearer form. And that's what you're talking about, I think, when you're saying now in this time, what's so incredible about this time is that it's going to be a much more common experience to have the connection of soul and human tied together as one in co-union with ourselves.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And you know, what's interesting working in the record is that what is transformational about it is that when we consciously engage in our own records, which is not mysterious to us, you know, most of the people I know who, you know, show up at classes, read my books, they say, oh, this, there's a familiarity about it because we're talking about our birthright. We are entitled. We already know our own soul at some level. And what this is about being more conscious. It's not about creating a connection. It's about waking up to the connection in a greater way. And when we do that, what's striking in the record is that it's energy first, information second. Information is terrific. I love information. And, you know, it's great. Information is great. Knowledge is wonderful. But see, when what we're talking about is an experience of an energetic presence of the self, an energetic dimension of the self. See, the idea of being known and loved, that's a nice idea. But the experience of being known and loved is life-changing. And that is what's available when we work in our own records. So when I go into my records, the records are governed. This is so interesting. They're governed by three absolutes. And the absolutes are fear not, judge not, resist not. These principles work together to maintain the sanctity of the space. Okay, so energetically, it is a space of infinite compassion, acceptance, patience, understanding. And it's a sanctuary, right? It's the sanctuary of the soul. It's the dimension of reverence. And it's interesting because the record doesn't do anything to us. It is by being in this space that it's easier for us as human beings to open up and let ourselves know the truth. Because you know how we're always talking about, I don't know about you, Les, I know myself and my friends, we're always saying, oh, the answers are all inside. We have all the answers. That's true. The question is, how do we get there? How do we hold still and feel loved and safe enough to let ourselves know the truth? And that's what happens when we consciously, responsibly, and deliberately engage the record. So
I like that.
Yeah.
So is there going to be an app to connect to the records, or is it...
That's a great idea. I don't know.
Well, okay.
Oh, it's interesting. It's because it is, you know, people have called it like the cosmic internet, right?
Sure.
And I think it's a great understanding, because in a lot of ways that's how it is.
So give us some examples. So to connect with the Akashic Records, what kind of information do you get about yourself that you can turn around and use in your life?
Okay. This is what... Okay. I want to say two things here. One is, in my own practice working in the records, do you know, in 2001, I received an access prayer known as the Pathway Prayer Process to access the heart of the Akashic Records. Okay, very simple prayer. It's on my website. It's all over, you know, it's in my books. And in the saying of the prayer, you experience a subtle shift of awareness. You're fully awake, whereas Edgar Cayce, who worked in the records in the middle of the last century, Edgar was fabulous, but he was unconscious. He was out. And Edgar could not teach anybody else how to do this. So, but that's all right. His work was to introduce the idea of the Akashic Record to the Western world, which he really did such a fabulous job. Okay. So in the opening of the records, so there's a, you know, you follow the directions. It's very simple, and move into this state of awareness. Now, let me tell you, this is one of the most, there's all kinds of information, but it's not about the information less as much as it is about the perspective. So what happens when we work in the record is we have the opportunity to see and know ourselves from the perspective of the soul. It's like putting on your soul put on those soul sunglasses and look at yourself, right? And your life and
right.
Your circumstances. Right? So, like,
nice.
I know for myself. So that's what it is. As opposed to, here's the thing. Most of us know, especially anybody who's listening, most of the people, it's like, you know, we know what our stuff is. This is, you don't have to be psychic. This is spiritual. And everyone is entitled to a more conscious relationship with their soul. So people will say, oh, I'm not psychic. It's like, don't worry about it. Why do you have to be psychic to know yourself?
Right.
You have a good head on your shoulders. All right. So here was one of my dilemmas. It's a great dilemma. I had this very frustrating, exasperating flaw, or whatever it is. I don't know what it was. A thing to learn. Okay, so here's what it was. Every time I needed to, wanted to, speak up for myself in some situation, I would be overcome with the sense that I was going to get killed. Now, that was very irrational because, you know, no one's ever held a gun to my head.
Right.
No one's threatened me with death for saying past the salt. So I thought, this is terrible. So I looked in my life and I see, you know, I've got five sisters, and I noticed, you know, they have it too. So I'm, you know, now I'm even more frustrated because for sure they can't help me. Then I look at my mother and I realize she never spoke up to my father. And then, okay, so now I'm mad at her for being a lousy role model. And then I look at my aunt, and you know it. You know it's coming, Les. They
yep.
all have it. So I go into my records. Now, I am mad as you know what, at myself, at everybody else, the universe, oh, my God. And I go into my records, and I'm like, what I wanted to do was find out what's the point of this? When did this start? Why am I in this pot of soup, right? So in the records, I ask, you know, what is this? What's this problem really, and when did it start? So I have this sense, okay? Now, I'm not seeing it so much as sensing it, feeling it like that, sense of knowing. I have this sense that I'm a little girl, and I am hanging on my mother's skirt, and we're in some kind of a small hut house, okay, Northern Europe, and there's a house full of kids, there's no father, and there are soldiers in the house, and the mother is mad as can be, and she wants to protect her children, and the soldiers say to her, basically, if you don't shut your mouth, we'll kill you. But she can't shut her mouth because she's going to protect her children. And so they kill her. And the little girl makes a decision. And the decision is, I will never speak up because I don't want to get killed.
Right.
Now, I have to tell you, in that moment, that was a great decision. That was a life-saving decision. It was a loving choice that I made. It was such a good choice that I taught it to my kids. But, you know, it kept me alive in that life.
Right,
and
yeah.
And it was passed down, right? It was passed down. See, what we see, but here was the other thing that was just blew my mind, is that I had been struggling, like, oh, you know, I'm trying everything to change this. But I was so bound up with resentment and judgment and all this other stuff, nothing could change. See, in the records, release comes through acceptance and really making peace with the fact that every difficulty, issue, whatever, is like that pattern at the point of origin was a wonderful, loving idea. Now, I happen to outgrow it a few lifetimes, so, you know, here we are. But see, until I could really, I want to say, like, appreciate and have love for myself, acceptance, love, appreciation. Like, gosh, that was a great idea. It saved my life. By making peace with the perceived problem, I was able to let it go. You know, the law of energy is we cannot let go of something if we judge it to be negative. Negativity, that's crazy glue. Negativity is the crazy glue of the energy world, right?
Yep.
But acceptance allows things to move. So what's interesting is that the pattern itself didn't change. What changed was my relationship to it. And what changed was that from a record standpoint, we see that everything is organized to, like, everything in our lives, as we move from lifetime to lifetime, we are on a quest to grow into unconditional self-love, love for others and life itself.
Yep.
Okay? And so we see in the records, the challenge was, how do I love myself when I have this issue? How do I love these other people? Oh, I was so mad at them. I thought, oh, these relatives of mine, you know, or whatever. Anyway.
Sure.
So, but see, the energetic, the experience, when I got what a great idea this was, it was a game changer. Okay?
So. Sure. You know, you could take that same thing and flip it over to real-time events. So you watch the media and there's this, you know, the terrorists and the mm-hmm. fighting and the torture and the rape, whatever. And when you react to that in a sense of, oh my God, that's a flavor of judgment. And the way to transcend that and give it an opportunity to be released from the collective is to have no judgment of it and have acceptance of it. And mm-hmm. and to the little mind, that's insanity, because if you don't physically go and stop it with war, it's going to come get you. But in truth, if you accept it, because just like you were talking about the soldiers in the house and the death, it's exactly the same mechanism being played out real time. And so when you can have unconditional love for, I like what Rumi said. He said, when the profane becomes sacred again, this mm-hmm. this atomic canvas that we've incarnated on to play out all these possibilities has infinite choices, and we have the free agency to make every single one of them. So when you watch TV and you see the scallywags, the scoundrels playing out all this karmic crap, which is a choice, that those exact same choices are available to you too. And it's mm-hmm. when we accept our ability to make that choice and not have judgment on it, that it can actually release and dissipate from the collective. But as long as we react to it and resist it, it perpetuates.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is really, you know, this is so interesting, and it's so timely, because we know so much is happening in the world that is truly confusing to so many of us and difficult to even comprehend. And I know, you know, I've brought a lot of these things into my own records and asked to really write for some real insight. I want to, you know, like, so what could this pop, you know, what's this about, right, is basically the great cosmic question. And I have really been led to recognize through the records that everyone is always doing their best. Every human being is always doing what they believe will get them, you know, land for them, secure for them some experience of love.
Yep.
The problem is, you know, so we have people killing each other because it's a way that they hope to make themselves feel better.
Yep.
So, like, no one gets up and says, I am going to ruin the planet today. People get up and say, what can I do to feel better? And sometimes the best idea they have is to hurt others.
Sure.
And that is, see, you know, looking at like the progression, right, the evolution of humanity through the Akashic record, what is increasingly clear to me is that we are all growing into, you know, how do I love myself when I cannot stop the war? And how do I love myself when I am the person who starts the war? Because, see, at the core, each and every one of us are pure, you know, incorruptible love.
Right.
And that is somehow so difficult for us to comprehend. So we're growing into it incrementally. Heavens knows it's challenging, right? And it defies, because we see that our religious organizations and institutions, you know, which were our idea, really have mirrored back to us, you know, how terrible we are. But now that's changing. We are the first people in history to be able to admit to ourselves and our friends that basically at the core, we're good. I mean, this is scandalous. You know, if my grandmother could hear me, she'd probably be saying the prayer for the wayward granddaughter. How dare you think that? And if you think it, please don't tell anybody.
Sure.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, it's the idea of innocence. Karmically, nobody's ever broken a karmic law. We're given fierce freedom to come here and mess it up as bad as we want to, choose to. And then it's like wet clean up aisle five, wet clean up aisle five. And that's kind of where we're at now. And those of us that become cognitive and wake up and see it for what it is, there's innocence in every single chapter, in every single verse of all of humanity. And when
that is so beautiful. I love the way you said that, Les. Yes.
For me, that innocence is critical, because as soon as we put judgment on it, as soon as we make somebody, quote, guilty, unquote, in our culture, when you're guilty, you lose privilege, you lose permission. And so you're kind of cutting off your ability to be powerful by the notion, quote, notion of being guilty. But in truth, nobody has ever, ever broken the karmic law. We're all innocent. Yeah, it's a bit of a mess, but, you know, with a bucket and a mop, we can clean this stuff up. And the first step to do that is to see it for what it is. It's innocence portrayed. And that's a hard noodle to wrap your head around sometimes, because of the pain, the suffering of the human element in the story that's playing out. But our souls chose to go into the darkness so we could turn around and try to find the light even in the darkness. And to know ourselves is to know light. And to be masters of light is to be masters of all forms of light, including no light. So the Akashic Records, is there a forward element to that? I mean, we're living in this seemingly sequential experience of time. So the next year is 2016. In this moment, in 2015, is there 2016 information in the Akashic Records, or is it only from the current moment backwards?
Okay, no. The point of access is the present moment, right?
Sure.
Now. What the record holds is not absolutely, right? This is not some, scorecard. It's not in stone. It's dynamic. We engage it, right? It responds to us. All right. It's very plastic, yeah? But what's interesting about it with regard to the future is this. Is that working in the record, we can see possibilities and probabilities. Now, they are very few people. You know, we use visual words to talk about the records, but most of us have sense of knowing, right? There are a few people who see, but most of us don't, so that's all right. But what we can, with regard to the future, the challenge is this, that the choices we make, the selections we make today, determine the future. Because, we see in the record, this is one of the great things I learned. I learned that I could not suffer my way into happiness. You know, I was raised Catholic, which was like, if you're just miserable enough, you'll get to be happy. And I thought, well, okay, if that's what you have to do, what do I care? I just want to be happy. I didn't know it was okay to just be happy. See, I can't, if I can be happy now, if I can accept life now, just the way it is, if I can accept myself and the people around me just the way they are, Now, I'm not saying approve. I'm not saying stand up and cheer. I'm saying to really say, wow, this is really the way it is right now at the human level. Isn't
right.
that something? If I can be at peace in the moment today, that opens the trajectory to peace in the future. So the
right.
challenge in the records, and the other thing is, depending on, you know, this is, a lot of people are very talented, right? They have a natural inclination to do this kind of work. But there's still skill involved, right? There's skill. There are ways, you know, like, you know, I teach the pathway prayer process. And there are a few guidelines that go with it to really help people develop their skill. So what we want to do is help people strengthen their skills to match their natural abilities. Okay. Now, I think this is so interesting that, you know, 25 years from now, people will not be going to classes to learn how to work in their Akashic records. It's just that we are the bridge generation. You know, I have a 22-year-old son. He says, and his friends, and they hang out at our house and stuff, and they say things to me like, I don't know why you guys make such a big deal out of all this. Everybody knows God is within. Everybody knows that everybody knows. Well, see, I don't come from that. That's the next generation, right? They're like, what is the big deal? But to us, we are the bridge generation. We are coming out of ages of darkness and fear. We are not only crossing the bridge, we are building it as we go. And that is why I think it's really valuable to give ourselves a chance to, you know, to read the good books, to get the good training, so that we can have the mastery that we know in our hearts is there for us. So.
The mastery of understanding the truth from a human perspective, when you bring that on, when you understand the truth in a full spectrum sort of way, that's very powerful, because you it's like you transcend the story of the collective. You step out of the movie as it's being played out, and you edit your own script, saying no wait a minute, you know, it I can understand the truth of what's going on, and so I can have a much more powerful vision of the future and know that it exists as a possibility, and I will be the person to bring it into creation, to bring it into the human experience. That's transformation in and of itself. So when you truly know that of the truth, you can be much bolder with your vision of your life, with the vision of your role. And it shows up as confidence. When you stand up and you talk and you speak from that place of knowingness, and that's the mechanism that triggers, it kind of blasts past the quagmire of dogma, if you will, in our collective media. When you stand up and you language the truth, that's the thing itself. You're literally the conduit of the truth into the physical form.
Right. And you know what is that, working in the records, we see that what moves energy is the formed word, right? Most powerfully when it's spoken, second is like written, and then thought, of course. But as we describe our experiences, with or without understanding, what begins to happen is the energies start to move. By describing, it is our inclination, right? I think it's human nature. We all want to jump to evaluation. I'm like, I'm going to skip the experience. Just give me the lesson, right? But see, working, I'm like, this is too, I'm way too uncomfortable for this. But what we see working in the records is that as we describe it, there is a clearing. And see, the experience of the truth is what transforms us, not the idea, right?
Sure.
The idea, knowledge is great. But knowledge and power, right, they're two different things. I was raised to think that knowledge was power. Imagine my shock when I realized that knowledge was knowledge, a wonderful thing unto itself. But it's not the pulse. The life force is the pulse, right? And that's what I love about the record. It's a dynamic, alive dimension of awareness through which we can, each and every one of us can engage in a way that makes it easier to know the truth. Because see, when I know for myself, when I have a moment of truth, a moment of experience of truth, I am forever changed, as are we all, right?
Sure.
And that is what's available in the record. So I just, you know, I can't say enough about it. And I know, do you know, Les, it's interesting. When I first came into the record, I was doing readings from 1994 to 96. I continue to do them to this day, right? So I work with people individually. And then I started teaching in 1996. I got the new prayer in 2001. My first book, you know, How to Read the Akashic Records, came out in 2009. Now, what was interesting with that is I thought, oh, I've got the method, I'm done. Wrong. Because there's more to life than finding the key to the door, right? So I found the key to the door, and that's the first book. It's the method and the records and how they're organized and all that. But then I knew there was more. And in my own experience, there's the dimension of the need for personal healing. And I was running around looking for healing books, and a lot of them were terrific, but so many didn't make sense to me because I knew I was having a human experience. And people would say, you know, anyway, you know, I was throwing light beams at myself and with no results. Anyway, working in the records, what was revealed to me was a practice of unconditional self-love. Unconditional self-love is a spiritual practice. It really has been, it's changed my life. Because, see, at that time in my life, I had, my father was dying, my son was younger, my partner and I mean, we're right in the middle of life. And I would go into my records and I would be like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And I'm not doing this well enough and I want to be better at this. And no matter what I brought to my records, I had this. I was met with, it's okay, of course. You're simply human. To have the experience of not being judged for being an imperfect human being really has just been a wonderful, wonderful freedom and a blessing. So that personal healing comes along. Now I think, now I'm really done. And the next piece that comes along is my third book and the one, you know, that we're talking about, it, which is Discovering the Soul's Path through the Akashic Records. You know, taking your life from ordinary to extraordinary, because it's really about the sacred opportunity of the human experience and our engagement in the world. See, after all the healing stuff, I thought, oh, I'm too sensitive to live, you know. But the fact is, we're, you know, what's new, one of the new things about the new age is that we are called it through our spirituality to participate in the world, not to run to the mountaintop. Okay,
sure.
And the question becomes, how do I maintain my spiritual awareness and sensitivity while I am participating in the world? And that's really the topic. That's what the whole book is about. You know, so we look at, you know, and it's a standalone book, which is terrific, right? It's got how to read your own records and then clearing grievances. You know, grievances we have against ourselves really block our perspective, to say nothing of our potential. So there's instructions for these things and exercises and protocols and practices. And it's very helpful, and it's really to the point.
Well, you know, this topic is so fascinating. I think we could go on for forever, but an hour goes by pretty fast. So I want to. I want to make sure that our listeners know how to get your book and get in contact with you. Can you share that with us?
Oh, of course, of course, of course. Okay. The book is Discover Your Soul's Path Through the Akashic Records, Taking Your Life from Ordinary to Extraordinary. Big fun. You can get that on Amazon, okay, or you can get it at hayhouse.com, or you can go to my website, which is akashicstudies.com, akashicstudies.com. Now, on my website, you know, I do, I work with people one-on-one. If some, you know, sometimes it's really great to have a consultation to see yourself and your life through the lens of your soul, okay?
Sure.
So that's one thing. And then I teach classes in person, right? I do in-person classes, and I also do online on demand. So there's a whole variety. So you can take a look and see, you know, I mean, you check with yourself and you think, what do I need right now? And the answers will come.
Right.
Because they're in there. They really are. But you can always, and the other thing is this, you can always Google me, Linda Howe Akashic Records, and you will find me. And I will be here. And I'm always happy to help in whatever way I can.
Well, Linda, it's been great having you on the show. We're out of time. I want to thank you for sharing your insights with us today. It's been a delightful show.
Oh, thank you so much, Les. I really appreciate the opportunity to meet with you and to talk about my work. And it's wonderful. I thank you for your great questions. And it's been a pleasure to be with you today. Thank you so much.
Linda Howe, the author of Discover Your Soul's Path Through the Akashic Records. You've heard how the insight that you gain from your soul's perspective can make all the difference in your life now. You know, I think that knowing this can bring a sense of peace. To know the truth, to know a deeper sense of the truth, can bring a sense of peace in you, in your experience. And if we want to experience peace on earth, that will come from knowing the truth. To know the truth is to set yourself free. So, it's quite obvious the passion that Linda has for this topic and the extensive experience and understanding. Check her book out and learn more about it. So anyway, you showed up for yourself tonight by listening to this episode. You took the time in your life to bring an opportunity to have a deeper understanding of who you are. And the more you do that, the more you change the rest of your life. It's always a good investment to invest in yourself. I'm your host, Les Jensen. It's been so delightful to have you on the show tonight. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.